Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 203.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company, powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
You know something? Accidents can happen to your Shopify store. Maybe you installed an app and it messed up your theme, or a store collaborator deleted product images by mistake. The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong. The truth is, they don't. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. The Rewind app should be the first thing you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or even collaborators gone bad. It's honestly like having your very own magic undo button. And it's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, from side hustles to the biggest online retailers like Gatorade and Movement Watches. It's even a Shopify Plus certified app partner, which means it has the reliability, security, and privacy you need to protect your brand. Install the Rewind app today and respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Enjoy peace of mind with Rewind backups. Find it in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes. We're like 202-ish episodes now. Very relevant back catalog. So you can check out ecommercefastlane.com. There's a lot of amazing partners in the Shopify ecosystem and the problems they're solving. A lot of great offers that are available. So ecommercefastlane.com. Now, today's episode, my guest is Mike McCarron, who's the VP of Sales and Strategic Alliances at a company called Gladly. And what they are is they're a platform that's making customer service, you know, as they say, radically personal. And we're going to get into the specifics in a few minutes. But they really do allow agents to communicate with customers seamlessly across all channels. It's very, very unique how they do it. Gladly centers their customer service around the person, and which I love this, not a case or a ticket. And I know we've all gone down that journey before where we're just a ticket number. What's your ticket number? And there just really is no context in this big, long scrolling thing. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It really does give agents, like I'm saying, full visibility to the customer view and single pane of window on screen. I think it's amazing kind of how they do it. I have a couple brands that I manage. I have a book of business in Shopify. I have a couple brands that actually use Gladly, and they're like overwhelmingly happy with it. They absolutely love the fact they made the pivot to the Gladly platform. One thing that I'm going to tell you that I think is fabulous too, many, many, many brands around the world are using them. Think Crate and Barrel is a big brand, or Uggs, you know, a lot of other companies in the Shopify world too. Andy Swimwear, Chubby Shorts, Rothy's, they all use the Gladly platform. So it's pretty amazing. The whole idea is the platform is helping to develop these lifetime customer relationships and not just this one-off experiences. So this, I believe, is going to be a very timely episode. We're just moving into the holiday season right now, Q4, and I think it's really important for brands to think about, how do I create delightful and personalized experiences? And I think this podcast is going to talk a lot about how Gladly is able to help brands. So hi, Mike. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the time and appreciate you giving me the opportunity to join you today. It's going to be an exciting conversation.
Absolutely. So let's unpack it a little bit about the Gladly platform. I mentioned a little bit at the top of the show, but I think it's always better, you know, in a VP's kind of role, and you know, you understand the product very well. So what sort of problems does the platform solve for Shopify brands?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think holistically, if you think about the bigger picture, what Gladly started, and we'll get into the details of sort of Gladly's origin in just a bit here, but the big problem that Gladly set out to solve is that Customer service has largely been a challenge that many consumers have run into over the general part of the last 10, 15 years. Everyone has an experience about a bad customer service interaction.
Yep.
And I think a lot of times what it comes down to is expectations not being met for the consumer and or for the brand or the agent that's engaging with that customer, largely because the systems and the solutions and the platforms that have been put in place to deliver service have not really been aligned to solving the problem effectively. And so I think a big reason is that a lot of customer service platforms grew up in the business-to-business space and then got applied to the business-to-consumer space. So the idea of tickets and cases, as you mentioned, those were the fundamental sort of foundational elements of how service was delivered. And service became a workflow problem where a customer would ask a question, it would get a case, it would get created, it would get routed to the next agent, and then all of a sudden it would get resolved. And the next time that customer reached out, potentially over the same channel or over a different channel, a different agent might be assigned that particular case. And the context of the full conversation was lost. As a result of that, what ends up happening is the customer's experience with the brand is fragmented across interactions or very transactional cases and tickets, but the consumer doesn't interact that way with your brand. They think about the relationship with the brand as they're a consumer and they want to be known and valued by that brand. And the fundamental way that most ticketing and case-based service platforms operate broke down that ability to build relationships with customers. And that became a major challenge and Gladly set out to solve that particular problem.
I'd love to learn a little bit more about the founder story too, because I think what's interesting about a SaaS app and products that, you know, that help this sort of challenge is that people typically don't build things just because they want a monthly recurring revenue. There's got to be a larger story around the founder and why they built this platform. And I'd always use the words about desires, like where did the desire come from? And like, where did the expertise and the brain power to put all of this together as we have the platform today?
Yeah, I think there's a long story around that founding, if you will. And it actually started way back in the mid-90s. So Mike Wolff and Joseph and Dirk Kessler, Mike Wolff and Joseph in particular, they are lifelong serial entrepreneurs. They have done three different or four different startups, each of them. I've actually been fortunate enough to be a part of three of those startups that they have done. And the first one that we all worked together at was at a company called Kana back in the late 1990s. And if anybody knows the space and anybody knows customer service, Kana was one of the very first email customer service platforms that was created out of the dot-com boom that happened in the late 90s. And so Kana became this universally used technology for email customer service. And it became essentially a very sort of common and very frequently used platform for lots of retailers to use to do customer service. Lo and behold, a couple years later, these two guys got back together again, started a data security company in the mid-2000s, did a bunch of things there. And then they decided in sort of like the 2013-2014 timeframe to go back and think about where are some areas in technology or where are some areas in the business that haven't had a lot of innovation applied to it. And they started to look back at customer service based on the Kana experience. And lo and behold, they found Kana 20 years later, still being used by a lot of very large retail brands.
Wow.
And they realized that the market has shifted considerably. The customer's expectations have shifted. The technology landscape has shifted so significantly. But yet the underlying fundamental platforms that customer service teams were using to deliver service to their consumers was totally outdated and not at all aligned to the way consumers now behave. If you think about it, the world pre-iPhone versus the world post-iPhone, right? All of the systems, all of the customer service platforms that are largely on the market today, Zendesk, Salesforce, Oracle Right Now, Genesys, NICE inContact, you name it, they were all designed prior to the world where consumers had an iPhone in their hand, which enabled them to look at phone calls and text messaging and email and web chat and social media. They have all these channels at their disposal on a single device in their hand, and they can choose which channel is most convenient for them to use in the moment. But none of the customer service platforms that most consumer brands were using were ever designed to operate in a way that the consumers are now behaving. And so there was this massive disconnect. And so one of the things that sort of like cemented home that particular need was when Joseph, who is our CEO and founder, he was doing some shopping and he was trying to place a fairly large order on a website for a bunch of home linens and towels and sheets because he bought a second house, or he invested in a second house or what have you. And he had this fairly large order in the checkout cart and he couldn't complete the checkout. And so as a result, he had to call into the customer service team, and the customer service team basically said, well, we have to start all over again and I'll call you back, or I'll sort of engage with you over a different channel. And so the scenario was, you have this consumer, they are willing and able and desire to spend a considerable amount of money with the brand, but yet the service experience disjointed and created sort of a kind of a clunky experience for him. And when he realized that a lot of it was not the agent who was creating this problem, it was the service systems and the platforms that they were using. And he started to look at, what are the alternatives? What are the different ways to do this? And then they started to go and call all of these companies that they thought delivered great service, that they thought delivered sort of like exceptional service in the retail market. And they realized Kana and a bunch of legacy technology was still driving the work that was happening on the back end. And they thought, opportunity. This is something that we can do differently, and we can innovate and change, and we can focus on the customer at the center of the service experience rather than the traditional transactional tickets and cases that most of these other platforms had grown up and done over the better part of the last 20 to 25 years.
That's amazing, eh? So it's just totally the iPhone effect, just the fact that you said, have it in your hand, you get to choose the channel that you want to interact with the most, but then these legacy systems just don't allow for all of that. And I know we've all had experiences. I've had one recently with exactly the same thing with a desk I was buying. I have a motorized desk, a stand-up desk, which I'm at right now, and just months and months and months have gone by and didn't know where the product was, you know, don't know my tracking number, and they can't link things. It was a very disjointed experience, high quality, very well authority brand too. Just shocked that here it is, this big legacy brand with also obviously using some archaic systems, and it's really not the greatest way. Imagine if I got really angry and decided to go to social media and started like complaining about tracking information and just not knowing all of that. I think it's a really poor experience, and I know Gladly supports all of that.
Right. One thing I will add to that too, real Steve, just as real quickly, I think this notion of omnichannel, we're going to get into it here in just a bit, but like omnichannel is this really interesting term that has been sort of the elusive goal of most companies who are trying to deliver service across all the channels that a customer or a consumer might want to use and leverage to engage the brand. So the notion of omnichannel is a very inwardly focused, which is, do I offer email? Do I offer chat? Do I offer SMS? Do I offer voice as channels so that consumers can use those channels to engage my customer service team? If I can check all those boxes, I provide quote-unquote omni-channel service to my consumer. But as soon as that consumer moves from one channel to the other, and that one channel or second channel switch converts into or changes into a second ticket or a second case, all of a sudden the consumer's experience is negatively impacted and the agent experience is negatively impacted. So all of a sudden, what is this desirable state of an omni-channel service experience turns actually into a fragmented experience where the agent and the consumer are no longer able to see the full and complete history of the communication, which then causes the customer to repeat their story or causes the agent to spend 60 to 90 seconds going to catch up on what was discussed or what was said in the prior ticket. And that just kills productivity. It kills efficiency. And as you think about the scale up of Q4 and the holiday season, most brands can't afford to have agents spending 60 to 90 seconds getting caught up on the other tickets or the other channels of communication. Gladly solves all of that by producing it and putting it into one single place.
I see. Okay, cool. Thank you for just clarifying that, because I think that's an important differentiator. So how does a brand know, since I have a bunch of brands that I manage, and I can guarantee you after this podcast is done, they're going to be, you know, I'm going to be sharing this with them, and so they can kind of learn more about what you guys are doing. But how do you know the time is right to pivot to the Gladly platform? Would there be any metrics or a signpost? There's got to be something like in a brand's journey that would say, hey, you know what, now's likely a great time to move over. Is it just kind of these catastrophic cases that happen and this disjointed kind of like feedback and CSAT scores? And like, I just don't know how I need to, for those listening today, or how I can interact with the brands that I manage, like how do I investigate into their tech stack or into their business operations to say, you have a challenge here, and I believe that Gladly might be able to help you with this?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think there's a couple of ways to think about it. So certainly, first and foremost, the consumer's expectations of what they bring to the table with regards to what good service looks like is no longer set by your company or the peer companies that you work with or compete against. It's basically set by the industry leaders of service. So you think about the Apples of the world and Ubers and Lyfts and DoorDash and others. Like, you can push a button on a phone and all of a sudden lunch shows up at your doorstep 35 minutes later. That's pretty good service, right? Yeah. Or you can click a button and a car arrives and it takes you to the airport and you walk out, you don't have to pay, you just shut the door and you're off you go. There's a level of convenience and there's a level of service that consumers are now experiencing. And they are now saying, if this company can do it, why can't others? And so they're bringing, whether it be realistic or unrealistic expectations to the table, they are still bringing expectations that they want to have met as part of the service experience. So I think that a lot of brands today are starting to engage and starting to work with consumers that have a stronger and stronger voice around what good service looks like. And so I think in some ways, there's a reactive mode when a company starts to realize that the expectations that their consumers are bringing are no longer possible to be met with the current systems and platforms and solutions that they have in place. That's a flag, right? That's a flag that goes up and you want to recognize that. I think a second area where you think about that, as I just mentioned around the omnichannel experience, which is many times people or companies have solved the omnichannel experience, but they haven't solved the customer experience challenge, which is I've offered voice and I offer chat and I offer email, but I actually don't do it in a way that actually delivers a good experience for the consumer that wants them to come back and do more. It doesn't build loyal relationships. It doesn't build long-term customer loyalty to the brand. What it does is it gives them individual channels to be able to use to solve a very transactional problem, not a relational problem that they want to sort of engage with the brand. So I think as soon as a brand realizes that notion of omnichannel no longer is matching or meeting the needs of the customer, it's oftentimes because they have a ticketing system with a bolt-on third-party voice platform and another bolt-on third-party SMS platform,
right,
which all of a sudden they realize this isn't working because the consumer is behaving in a way that the systems were never designed to behave in. And so Israel, that's a biggie there too. And again, what happens with that is there's an experience that happens where customers' experience and the agent's experience gets fragmented across those tickets and cases. The silos of communication that are happening between a consumer and an agent. Because oftentimes, if a customer is reaching back out a second time or a third time over different channels, the likelihood that the same agent is able to see or is routed the same customer's issue is oftentimes quite low. So as a result, it puts a lot of work on the agent's sort of shoulders to sort of do the homework and do the legwork to figure out what's going on with that customer. And I think that inconsistent view or that incomplete view slows things down. It makes agents' lives more difficult than they need to be. It also requires agents sometimes to learn multiple different systems. So your training and your onboarding costs and the time to be able to sort of deliver great service for a new customer service agent that comes on board might be delayed by a week or two. And that's really valuable, especially when you think about the Q4 ramp that actually comes in here. The last area that I would say around sort of the right time potentially is when the dynamics of what the company is looking to accomplish change, right? Size of the company, how complex is their service experience? Have they gone global? Have they introduced new product offerings? Have they introduced more complexity into the overall solution or the services that they provide or the products that they provide? And all of a sudden, what used to work, which was maybe an email inbox and a voice, you know, platform, what have you, no longer is sufficient to deliver the kind of a service experience that they want. We see that all the time where companies start small, couple of agents, get off the ground, get going. All of a sudden, the business takes off, they grow and they expand, and they realize that they've outgrown the initial platform that they used. Because as we know with almost life in general, when volume or sort of the activity levels increase, they stress the weak points in the system. They stress the areas where if the business isn't fully aligned, then things start to break down. And we see that where smaller sort of companies or smaller startups that are growing quickly, they start to outgrow what those initial systems were able to do for them. And Gladly is a great place for them to think about going to as they grow and scale their business.
Got a follow-up question then on that, because I think, you know, there's going to be people listening today that maybe are customer service managers or they own the customer experience overall. And there's lots of agents that are taking these current tickets or they're using Gmail or a competing product, whatever they're doing. But I just wondered if there's any kind of reports or alerts that are built into the Gladly platform. So what I'm trying to figure out is that how do we make the customer service manager's job? They're not necessarily frontline. Maybe they get escalated tickets or escalated kind of like cases and things that have to go to them that can't be dealt with maybe on a frontline worker. That part I get. But I'm just curious, is like overall, like managing the customer experience or the customer success team using the Gladly platform, what is being, and it's hard on a podcast, but what's being shown on a dashboard for those types of manager level people?
Yeah, what's really interesting about Gladly and sort of what we've built is that we have really focused, and again, we've really focused on that customer at the center of everything that we do, right? The customer is what is routed to the agent along with all the communication history that comes along with it. So phone calls and emails and chats. So we have built a system where the consumer, they don't really see Gladly's backend platform necessarily. Yeah. They actually see the Gladly platform with regards to self-service. We can power self-service and help centers, and we can have a sort of a chat capability, a chat sort of interaction sort of module we call Sidekick. And so there is a direct interaction between the consumer and Gladly via that experience. But for the most part, what we've tried to do is we've tried to create a great experience for consumers to interact with a brand independent of the channel that they choose. And then we've also built a system and a solution for agents to have this unbelievably intuitive and easy to use customer service platform. Think about your iMessage thread where you have a back and forth dialogue with your friends or your family, where you have this ongoing dialogue where you've got bubbles on the right and bubbles on the left, where it sort of really just sort of, you know, describes for you a back and forth dialogue that happens, right? It's an oversimplification. But imagine if that back and forth dialogue in that timeline view contained phone calls and emails and text messages and Twitter direct messages and Facebook Messenger posts and all of the interactions that a customer has with the brand. That experience is all inclusive in one view, along with what do we know about that customer in terms of lifetime spend, recent purchases, direct integration back in with Shopify to pull that data in. You've created this great agent experience. But back to your original question, what about the supervisors? What about the managers who are basically tasked with making sure they have the right people, supporting the right channels, and with the right staffing capacity so that you hit your SLAs and you go through all the process there? So inside of Gladly, we have all of that information. So you think about, you don't have to have a separate dashboard and a live board for your separate third-party voice platform because voice is embedded inside of Gladly. Email's embedded in natively. Voice, web chat, mobile chat, SMS, all the social media channels. So within Gladly's single platform, because we have built all of the channels natively inside, we have a complete view of every single customer inquiry that's coming in, independent of the channel, and we can show live boards and reports around activity, backlog, queues, SLA, the number of conversations that are being added, who's actively on, and again, we can actually even look at agent status, who's on a call, who's on a chat, how many chats are they on? Because we can think about this concept of concurrency with chats, which is I can, as an agent, chat with two or three or four customers at the same time. Gladly's live boards is a real-time snapshot into the inner workings and real-time workings of what's going on in the contact center right now in the moment, which is even more important given the fact that most customer service agents aren't coming into the office to work. They're doing it from home, right? So what's actually happening? Who's online? Who's actively engaged in a customer? Are they doing an email? Are they on a phone call? Are they wrapping up a call? Like, what is the work that they're actually doing? All of those metrics and all of that information is displayed in real time as part of this live board view so that a manager and a supervisor can view holistically what's happening across everything in the contact center, but also what's happening within a team, what's happening within a particular inbox or a focused area of the group. Maybe it's the billing department or the credit department or even the sales department within a customer service organization. How do you get full access to see what's actually happening in real time? That's what we talk about with live boards. And then there's also the traditional historical reports, which is to say what has been happening over the course of the last day, the last week, the last month, and the last quarter. So we have trends and insights to be able to say, what is actually happening within the business in terms of, is the frequency of damaged merchandise going up or down? Are we seeing a channel mix shift between people moving off of voice onto chat because chat's become more convenient for people? It's faster, it's easier. You can do more self-service. What percentage of self-service inquiries that a customer is going to the self-service portal to, how many issues are they resolving on their own? Which is a great way of understanding the effectiveness of your knowledge and your content that you're actually sharing with your customers. All of those things are all part of the live boards and the reporting capabilities inside of Gladly.
Oh, I love this. You know, it's another framework we call what does good look like? And one thing I think about is the training aspect of this platform. I think it seems like it's very interesting to me because, you know, as a supervisor or manager of customer support for a brand, it's like, I think of Costco, for example. Like, I know for a fact that Costco really does monitor when you're logged in, you own that cash register and you're getting people through number of items that they've purchased, which they don't have any impact on, but they do have how quickly you can whip them through and how many customers per hour. And so there's some efficiency gains. Mm-hmm. And so just overall, I'm just curious of like with Gladly then knowing that, like, is there a coaching opportunity available as a manager using the platform? It's fine, you know, the live dashboards and having some legacy information there about trends and things like that. But can you directly listen into conversations or can there be recordings available or any type of coaching things just to improve the skills of the frontline customer support team?
Yeah, the example you just mentioned around sort of the coaching and mentoring of an agent by a supervisor or manager, all that stuff is built in. One of the great things about Gladly, again, is that because the telephony system is natively built into the platform, we don't need a separate third-party telephony system. So like many folks will use a ticketing system plus a Five9 or a Talkdesk or a Dialpad or an Amazon Connect or any number of other sort of third-party voice systems. Gladly doesn't need that. Gladly has an embedded natively built voice platform inside of the system. So the ability to actually integrate that live board that I just mentioned with actual live calls to be able to go in and actually monitor that call and then provide coaching to an agent in the midst of a call is just built right into the software. It's built right into the system. The other thing that we can do is every single agent can look, or every single supervisor for that matter, can look and see the full history of the communication that's happening for a given customer. So you can go in and search, find all the open conversations that this particular agent is working on, and find out what's actually happening and the status of that. All the calls that are coming into Gladly are recorded by default. And so you can actually go back and play the call recording back from within the browser of the Gladly interface. So you can actually see and listen to the call as it happened and listen to what actually happened there. And then on top of that, we actually have a great partnership with a number of really sort of great leading third-party CSAT and QA providers, you know, like Stella Connect and others, where you can actually take all the call recordings and all the digital communications, you know, export all of that out to a QA solution and then be able to have the supervisors and managers not just coach on this single interaction of the phone call or of the email, but if the conversation that happened between the customer and the customer service team spanned a day and a half and it started as an email, went to a voice call, then went to an SMS text message exchange, the supervisor can view and score, if you will, the entirety of those three different channel interactions as part of a single conversation. And that's something that gives agents and the supervisors a more holistic and a more complete view of what's actually happened with that customer's experience with the brand. And that is a game changer as well. So that's a different approach and a more holistic, more comprehensive approach to thinking about that.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. I'm thinking also now about AI and machine learning. It's obviously a hot topic. They're not synonymous because they are different things, but it's interesting that it's brought up and assumed to be the same. But I'm just curious on Gladly's approach. Is there any AI or any machine learning capabilities in the solution as far as how a customer is able to interact with the Gladly solution? I'm thinking the self-serve, which you mentioned, and then versus maybe the dedicated model, but is there any other kind of intelligent systems built into it? Like maybe even like recommended canned responses. I'm throwing a lot of things out here that I don't even know if it even does all of this, but I just would love to hear more about this.
No, you're hitting on a great point. So there's a couple of different ways to think about AI and automation and self-service. So at its foundation, Gladly has a lot of like built-in automation and AI in it already. So for example, for agents, if a customer emails in or they're sort of calling in or they're sort of like inquiring about a return, they're inquiring about a damaged merchandise or whatever it is, Gladly can recognize what the intent of that customer's inquiry is and make suggestions to the agents about answers or knowledge base articles, if you will. We call them answers inside of Gladly. What knowledge base articles are most applicable to solving or addressing or responding to that particular customer? So if you think about training and you think about how quickly can you onboard an agent to get them productive in the system to be able to deliver great service to customers, they don't have to learn about the 150 to 250 knowledge base articles in the system. Gladly will tell them, based on your peers,
yeah,
here are the top three articles that have most often been used when someone has asked a question about this particular topic, such as return, shipping details, or merchandise damage, whatever it happens to be. So the idea is that Gladly has built-in automation to suggest answers to agents, as well as suggest topics to agents. And topics are essentially Gladly's version of a disposition code, which says, what is this issue about? What is this conversation about? Is it about a return? Is it about a new order? Is it about damaged merchandise? Is it about a billing issue? Or frankly, is it about all three or four of those things, right? The ability to actually have multiple topics allows for agents and Gladly to essentially categorize the issues that are coming in, which then, of course, helps with reporting and analytics on the back end to determine, okay, what are the trends we're seeing? We're seeing an uptick in billing issues. We're seeing an uptick in checkout issues. Or frankly, we're seeing a downtick in the number of returns that are coming in, which is a great thing for retail brands to be thinking about. So all of that is part of sort of how Gladly thinks about that. At the same time, there's also a number of sort of third-party AI solutions that are out there that deliver on more of that advanced, more sort of like scenario-based sort of automation. So like they want to get an order status, they want to sort of like process return automatically. We work with partners like Thankful and Natomi and some others out there that are helping to build automation. I'm not going to say the word chatbot because that's not the right term for it. It's more yes. automation because yeah. Gladly looks at automation as being universal, just like we look at channels as being universal. Like if someone can self-serve in an IVR or self-serve via SMS or self-serve, you know, Twitter, like that's not a chatbot. That's just leveraging automation and rules and automation to get what they want. And so Gladly thinks about, just like we think about communications from a service perspective as being channel independent or channel agnostic, we think about automation in the same way. And so we don't want to sort of isolate or focus overly on just a chat automation experience. We want that automation experience to apply to all the channels that are out there. So we work with them. The last thing I'll say on automation is that one of the things that we believe pretty strongly here at Gladly is that automation and personalized service do not have to be at odds with one another. In that what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to automate the user asks or the customer inquiries or the customer requests that come in that machines or computers or automation is really good at solving. Store hours, store location, looking up some very basic information that the customer can solve on their own, or even looking at a status order, a WISMO order status, which is to find out what's the status of an order. Automating those kinds of interactions is great because the customer wants a quick answer. They want a fast answer. They don't want to wait in the line to get that answer. And it prevents the agent from spending valuable time answering a question that a computer could otherwise answer for them. What that does is it frees up the limited, very valuable people time and the people hours that you have to spend on those things that only people and resources can solve. You can't solve a complex travel booking inquiry over a bot, or you can't solve a complicated return of one order, buying two more items, changing the size of that item. Very difficult to automate that in an AI experience, but a person is really good at doing that. And frankly, a person can build that loyalty and build that relationship with that customer better than a bot can. So as a result, when you free up that time where the system is answering those basic questions, the team has more capacity and more time to spend solving the problems that people are better suited to solve.
Right. I'm thinking another thing here that I think is a hot topic too is about the fact that it's a blue ocean out there. There's lots of competition. You know, we talk in the green room that, you know, we believe, and I'm sure Shopify does too, that, you know, where there's competition, there's business. And it's very clear that I think in the Shopify world, there's other notable peers, I believe, in customer service or customer experience. You brought up a few of the names already, but, you know, the idea is you could do a quick search, go to the Shopify App Store, or you can go to Google. At the end of the day, I know that Gladly, and I think you've touched on a few of the points already, but Gladly has been very intentional to differentiate, I think, from a lot of these other peers kind of in the Shopify ecosystem. You talked about voice as being one of them instead of having to add as a bolt on. That I totally get, the voice side of it, because I always are recommending a voice tool to add on to something where you do it all natively. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? And just, you know, throw one more thing in there. Is it also intentional about playing nice with existing tech stack? Because that's one of the big challenges I have, are people wanting to migrate over. They have existing pieces of tech that are outside of the customer experience side, but they're still necessary MarTech that may be it loyalty solutions or whatever it might be. Do you play nicely with these other pieces of, I guess, popular or notable Shopify apps?
Yeah. So I think, like you mentioned, so there's lots of players out there, lots of different sort of providers in the CX space. Uh-huh. And Gladly did take a fairly unique approach and a fairly unique sort of path to sort of where we are today. You mentioned the voice, natively built voice. Interestingly enough, was much more of a differentiated approach than we actually originally thought, or at least we realized the power of a natively built voice platform inside of Cloudly was tremendously valuable. And it was one of those things when we were talking to early customers, they recognized and acknowledged how different and unique that approach was. So that was a big, big sort of area of focus that has continued to sort of pay dividends back to Cloudly in terms of customers realizing they can do cost savings, they can do system consolidation by not having to pay two different vendors for the same capabilities that Cloudly offers natively inside. The other thing that I think is unique and different is around this notion of being customer-centered. And we talk about that a lot inside of Cloudly. In fact, it is like the number one sort of like theme or pillar, if you will, when you think about what makes Cloudly unique. And we talk about it's all about people. It's all about the person, the customer in this case. But it's not just a marketing term. It's actually an architectural product design that we said there are no concepts of tickets and cases and queues of tickets and cases being routed on the back end that Cloudly is applying some UI on front to sort of make it look like a conversation or make it look like customers. The actual routable object, the actual routable sort of component on the back end is the customer's record. And what we do is when we route that customer to the next agent, every single communication, email, chat, voicemail, you name it, it all comes over with that customer's record. And so what that allows you to do is it allows you to do things like intelligent routing with regards to who the person is, which we call it people match, which is if this person, this consumer is a VIP customer, I don't have to create a different routing logic for my SMS channel and my voice channel and my email channel for that customer. I have the customer and the customer is a VIP customer. I want to route this VIP customer to a specialized group independent of the channel that that customer happens to use to reach out to the brand at that moment. We're looking at who the customer is and what we know about that customer to inform our routing decisions, not the priority of the channel or not the priority of sort of like a different sort of routing logic and different routing rules in place for the different channels. So that is a completely different approach. And when people start to realize the difference between that approach and what has traditionally been ticket and case-based routing with bolt-on channels, the simplicity and the effectiveness of being able to do that really becomes a very clear differentiator. And then you mentioned about sort of playing nicely with Shopify partners. Cloudly has a very, very specific area of focus that we focus on, which is the customer service experience, the agent experience, the customer experience. We talk about that a bunch. There's a bunch of other technology that sits around that. Like you've got marketing platforms like Klaviyo, which we know is a big Shopify partner. We integrate with Klaviyo. So we can actually leverage information inside of Cloudly to say, hey, if I have an active customer service issue with this particular consumer, let's suppress this customer from a Klaviyo marketing send automatically. And when the conversation is over, let's actually re-enable them and re-enable them to be part of the next marketing send that comes out. We have partnerships with Yapo. We have partnerships with CSAT surveys like Stella and Delighted. There's all of these sort of peripheral systems that sort of operate or exist inside of an e-commerce platform that Cloudly wants to play nicely with, because we know there are e-commerce solutions out there. There are marketing platforms out there. There are workforce management. There are QA solutions. There are subscription management services that are out there. We're actually sort of talking to a bunch of companies right now where they want to leverage subscription management from a payment services perspective. And we want to have, okay, what is the payment subscription renewal cycle for that? How do you bring that information into Cloudly? The idea is that the customer in Cloudly is that centralized, you know, and what do we know about that customer across all the different touch points, marketing sends or loyalty point program, all those things. Those are complementary technologies that allow for Cloudly and the customer service team to really understand and get a full picture of who the customer is so that you can deliver great personalized service to that customer at scale.
Very cool. Thanks so much for sharing that. I just wanted to have some clarity as I knew that there was going to be a reason behind it all. And that definitely makes a lot of sense to me. I want to pivot to a story now, because I think, you know, we're all, I just say motivated, but I think there's some inspiration, you know, around hearing a story. And I usually, part of my podcast is like, I ask, you know, the company is saying, hey, can you share a recent journey of a Shopify brand that maybe has made the decision, maybe prior to Cloudly, they were doing X, they could be using Gmail or a competing product, and it ran its course. I just would love if you could kind of share with our listeners today about what happened with this brand. First of all, who are they, number one? And after they implemented Cloudly, what was their whole workflow and process? And was there any kind of eventual outcomes that were very favorable for the brand?
Yeah, so I think lots of different examples to choose from. I'll pick one that I think is symbolic of, I think, what I mentioned sort of at the beginning, which is like, brands that realized growth and scale was becoming something that they had to look at and look at investing in proactively. And so the customer example I'll share is with Allbirds. And I think everybody probably listening here knows about Allbirds. They probably have at least a pair or two of Allbirds in their closet. Allbirds is a great brand, San Francisco-based brand, for those who may not know. But they were running on an alternative ticketing-based system. And they had a ticketing system plus a bolt-on third-party voice platform, just like we've been talking about a bunch. And they were growing. They were growing quickly. They were scaling. They were going international. And they started to realize that their ability as a customer service team to meet the growing needs of their company, both domestically as well as internationally, was going to be a challenge using the older legacy technology and the older legacy infrastructure that they were running on. And so they started, you know, what most people do in this space, they started a search process, they were going through an evaluation, they did sort of the RFP process, if you will, and they looked at a bunch of different competitors in the space and they landed on and chose Gladly for a number of reasons, one of which is, again, that system consolidation of bringing voice in, the partnership and the alignment of what Gladly's vision was around customer-centered service and the overall, you know, ethos of what Allbirds was trying to do. In fact, if anybody's interested, there's a great podcast that our CEO, Joseph, and their CEO, Joey, not to be confused with the two, they had a great conversation about sort of like why Gladly and why Gladly for Allbirds. And so if anybody's interested in listening to that, there's a great sort of podcast out there on the Radically Personal podcast that Joseph has done. But Allbirds really sort of learned from and sort of observed that what they wanted to do and where they wanted to go was not going to happen if they continued to leverage and use the old technology and the old approach of ticket and case-based service. They weren't scaling. It wasn't efficient. They weren't able to get the results that they wanted. And as a result, they looked to Gladly to be able to do that. So they wanted to challenge the status quo of how service has traditionally been delivered. So they wanted to move away from call center reactive, very transactional service into a more proactive, relational, sort of like revenue generating service experience where if someone's calling up looking to return a pair of shoes, they don't just process the return and move on to the next customer. They try to sell them a second pair of shoes or different size or different style or whatever it happens to be, and to turn that return into an upsell and a cross-sell opportunity. It sort of allows for that team to have more confidence in selling and actually offering up new services or products to that customer that they can leverage and use. So they recognized that they wanted to evolve as a team and they wanted to evolve as an organization, and they needed an innovative technology solution like Gladly to allow them to navigate that transition. And I think, you know, for them, the reason for the change was sort of twofold. One was that desire, that, you know, expectation of making a change, and they wanted to sort of do something differently. But then, as with all technology decisions that I think I've been a part of, oftentimes it comes up around opportunity, which is contract renewal was up. It allowed everybody to take a step back and say, is now the right time to think differently, to think about a new platform? Do I want to renew with what I already have today? Or is now a good time for me to sort of pivot left versus going right in terms of the overall direction there? And then, you know, what they saw and what they realized as part of that experience was they're starting to see and they're starting to add more and more channels. As a result of that, the consumers are starting to leverage more of those channels. So the overly concentrated email customer service experience is now distributed across chat and across SMS and across voice. And so it allows for a more equal distribution across channels, which frankly is giving the consumer choice. It gives them options to choose from in terms of the channels, but it doesn't create that fragmented, siloed experience that I mentioned earlier, which is when you have different ticket and case-based systems that are bolted together, you don't get that seamless experience when customers use all those channels to do that. So quick answer, quick summary on that one. But Allbirds has just been a tremendous, both innovative thought leader partner for Gladly to think about what does it look like for a growing, aspiring global brand to think differently about service and how can Gladly help them reach their goals? And how can we learn from what Allbirds is doing to help us inform product direction decisions and where we're making investments to help them be successful in the future?
Yeah, I could totally see that. You know, just a company of their size and that scale and being so global, I can appreciate there's going to be a direct line of communication between your team and their team about kind of what's working well and what could be improved. And just, I love that open communication, open dialogue. So, and that's one of the reasons why you're a plus technology partner. There's a reasons why you're in that elite group of SaaS companies that connect to Shopify. And I just really appreciate that. We are, as you know, we're in Q4 right now. The holiday season literally is around around the corner. All my calls right now at the brands I manage are really talking about supply chain. They're talking about just risk management a little bit about, well, what are we doing if the fulfillment is not working as well as we hoped, if the carriers are not there, or what if we run out of stock? And like, there's so many different things, and people are coming up with like early strategies to start early. So my question to you is that, what if a brand listening today is like, okay, I get it, Mike, you know, you're right. Maybe my customer experience is not as good as I'd want it to be. I'm looking to make a pivot. Do you think that now is a good time based on where we're at right now? Or is this more of a Q1 initiative where, hey, maybe I need to look into what Gladly can offer? Is there anything that people can prepare now? I'm trying to think, I want people to be successful over BFCM in the holiday season. But part of that success, I think, is the customer experience around the brand. Is there an opportunity today to get involved with Gladly, or is there any other kind of tips that you can recommend?
Yeah, I think in terms of the timing, obviously we're coming up on sort of middle of October at the time of this recording here. So we're getting close to holiday season. There's still time, right? So like the ability to move from an existing system or an existing platform over to Gladly, the number of times actually we have done rollouts and migrations to Gladly the weekend before Cyber Monday type of timeframe, we've actually done it more often than I could have imagined, because people are looking at what life would look like post sort of like Cyber Monday into the holidays. And they're realizing that even a little bit of disruption with Gladly as part of that migration and new training and what have you, it's actually a pretty minimal lift to do it. But the upside of all of the benefits that they get with Gladly outweighs some of the downside risks that they might otherwise have. But with that said, I think there's never a bad time to think about, is the right experience that I want to deliver for my customers? And what is the right approach to take? It might be that you start with one channel inside of Gladly. Maybe you go with SMS, maybe you go with voice, maybe you go with email. You can start with a single channel before the holidays. Then you can move into a full-on sort of like all channels natively built in. You can do that as part of that process. So the timing of it obviously depends on how fast a company is willing to move. But at the same time, it also is like, what's the disruption and what's the risk of the disruption there? What we typically see is that this is traditional sort of in the retail space is Q4 is a great time to make a decision about a new platform, because you want to implement it in Q2 or Q3 so that you can actually have it ready for the next holiday season. So like we actually find that we thought that retailers would sort of go quiet from a new technology innovation, new technology selection process in Q4, given the holidays. But what we've realized is that retailers oftentimes will make decisions about technology during their holiday season, but they'll actually implement it over the summer when things are a little bit quiet. Additionally, I would say on the what should people be thinking about or what could they be thinking about, I think it's really important to think about and anticipate, what are the likely needs and asks or inquiries that customers are going to bring to the customer service team's attention? And are you staffing your seasonal employees that you're bringing on board at this time of the year? Are you staffing them appropriately with the right skill sets and the right experiences to do that? So great example is last year, this was like a spotlight was shown on this one, which is customer service became retail. They became the number one retail store of many, many brands that are out there today, meaning like the customer service team was the one team that was converting sales, especially for brands that didn't have stores open because of everything going on in the world. So as a result, the customer service teams were borrowing and they were recruiting from within the ranks of their own store associates and their store managers to join the customer service team to become sales specialists, to become product experts that the service team needed to be able to provide for consumers who were coming to the website looking to chat with somebody who could give them advice about a couch or advice about fabric and advice about clothing or whatever it is. They were realizing that the service team was no longer the, I'm going to solve a problem for this customer. The service team became a consultative stylist and a shopping experience. And I think the hiring for the people who are going to be needed most by the organization, you don't want to find yourself having hired a bunch of seasonal employees that no longer match the needs that the customers are going to bring. So you got to anticipate, what do you think are going to become the issues that customers are going to ask for, and get ahead of that and hire the right people who have those skills.
Love it. That's great advice. Thank you for that. No, we are nearing the end of the show for today. So how can people learn more about the Gladly solution? And we did speak in the green room before recording. I understand you'd like to have a little offer for those listening today that would like to get under the hood of Gladly and use some or all of the platform.
Visit the website, gladly.com. It's pretty easy to find us out there. We also are available on the Shopify App Store, where you can go to apps.shopify.com/gladly. And again, I think learning about Gladly, we've got a bunch of great content, a bunch of great insights and materials. We're also doing this series on sort of the making of a customer experience hero. So what we call agents in Gladly, we call them heroes, because that's what they are. And we are doing a lot of these sort of like recorded sessions with customers that are using Gladly, and we walk through their journey. We walk through what it is that they're thinking about, how they chose Gladly, what they're learning about actually having leveraged Gladly and moving over to this more customer-centered approach. So there's a lot of great examples. There's probably a half a dozen, if not 10 or so, that we've already done. We've got a couple more left to do for this quarter, but there's some great customer stories and anecdotes. So I encourage you to go to the website to sort of see that and look at that and observe those. You can kind of download those or ask for information about those. And those are great ways to learn about not just how Gladly thinks about what we do, but how customers think about what Gladly has done for them as part of the company. So that's a great place to go. And in terms of the offer, as you mentioned, you know, we're willing to sort of like be creative and think about how can a customer's in the middle of their 12-month contract with a customer service platform. We are willing and able to get creative and offer a couple months of free use of Gladly to sort of switch over and to move over to Gladly. More details can be found after the podcast.
I have a link that I'll put that on. It's ecommercefastlane.com/Gladly, and that will redirect to a landing page. So you'll have all the links that we talked about today. I'm for sure going to have that link to the podcast, Radically Personal with the Allbirds co-founder, and you know, anything else that we've chatted about today. I'll make sure all those links are going to be in the show notes. I just really appreciate this offer. If you look, and I say this in every podcast, but I have copious amounts of notes that I've scrambled down. You probably hear me writing most of the time. Life of learning is my mantra, and you know, I'm merchant facing. Been involved in commerce for over 20 years. I get it. But you know, every single day I come to work and look forward to one or two podcast recordings a week. And this is one that I'm chalking up as a massive learning for me today. I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And it's an exciting platform. I didn't know a lot. Like I said, I have a couple brands that use your solution. But now that I completely understand how you fit in the ecosystem now, and I think hopefully those listening today can also learn more about what you offer, you know, get under the hood for a few months and actually try the solution out. I think, you know, timing is right. This podcast is definitely going to be out in the next few days, so middle of October. So I'll have all the links in the show notes. Once again, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge, your vision, and just giving back the Shopify ecosystem.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and glad that we were able to sort of spend some time talking about what's going on in the CX world. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Have yourself a great day.
You too.
Now, this episode was brought to you by the team at Rewind. The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong with your store. The truth is, they don't. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. The Rewind app should be the first thing you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or even collaborators gone bad. It's like having your very own magic undo button. It's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, large and small. So enjoy peace of mind and install the Rewind app today. And make sure to respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the e-commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Learn more by checking out Rewind in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms. All with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.